Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28. Paranjan becomes a woman in his in the next life. Text number 6. 7. Vishirnam Swaparin Viksha Pratikulana Nadritan Putran Potran Ugamyat Matyan Jayam Chagata Sauridam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. King Paranjan then saw that everything in his town was scattered and that his sons, grandsons, servants, and ministers were all gradually opposing him. He also noted that his wife was becoming cold and indifferent. Purport. When one becomes an invalid, his senses and organs are weakened. In other words, they are no longer under one's control. The senses and sense objects then begin to oppose him. When a person is in a distressed condition, even his family members, his sons, grandsons, and wife become disrespectful. They no longer are under the command of the master of the house. Just as we wish to use our senses for sense gratification, the senses are also require strength from the body in reciprocation. Man keeps a family for enjoyment, and similarly family members demand enjoyment from the head of the family. When they do not receive sufficient money from him, they grow disinterested and ignore his commands or desires. This is all due to one's being a kripana miser. This word kripana used in this verse is in opposition to the word brahmana. In the human form of life, one should become a brahman, which means that one should understand the constitutional position of the absolute truth Brahman and then engage in his service as a Vaishnava. We get this facility in the human form of life. But if we do not properly utilize this opportunity, we become a kripana miser. A miser is one who gets money, does not spend it properly. The human form of life is especially meant for understanding Brahman, for becoming a brahmana, and if we do not utilize it properly, remain a kripana. We can actually see that a woman has money but does not spend it, remains a miser and is never happy. Similarly, when one's intelligence is spoiled due to sense gratification, he remains a miser throughout his life. So the text again, Vishirnam Swaparim Viksha Pratikulana Nadritan Putran Potranugam Matyan Jayam Chagata Sauridam. King Paranjan then saw that everything in his town was scattered and that his sons, grandsons, servants, and ministers were all gradually opposing him. He also noted that his wife was becoming cold and indifferent. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuta Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tenamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadhyade Satarane. These particular verses are allegory in the sense that it's describing King Paranjan's body as just like a kingdom, and his intelligence should just be like his queen, etc. So in this way, Narada Muni is describing to King Prachini Barhishat about material existence. One thing we can see here is that when we're given the uniform of life, it's just like we're given something to invest. Everyone has the opportunity to invest their human form of life as they like. If they use it for sense gratification, then they're simply wasting their human form of life, and at the end they wind up to be with nothing. Just like King Paranjan, he invested all his energy in maintaining his family, but by spoiling his energy like that when he didn't have any more energy, it's not that his family appreciated, oh, you worked so hard for us, you did so much, and now we'll take care of you in old age. No, they kicked him out of the house. Get lost, you old goat. Find some barn to live in. So this is the nature of material life. Although people are very sentimental, that it's love and affection and appreciation, but ultimately it's business. And if you have nothing to invest, then you're considered to be a loser. Similarly, if we don't invest our senses in becoming Krishna conscious, then at the end of the life, when the senses become dull, then we have nothing left. If we don't use our senses to develop our consciousness, but just to gratify them, at the end of the life, we have nothing to think about except lamentation. How one time my senses could be gratified, but now I can't gratify them anymore. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukhamvasi naiva dware pare dehi naiva korvan nakaryan. The embodied soul, the master of the city of his body, does not... When sarva karmani manasa, when one renounces the results of all his activities, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, he's not affected by sinful reaction. That's a different verse. Sarva karmani manasa sanyas yaste sukhamvasi. When the soul renounces all activity, sarva karmani manasa, within the mind, sanyas yaste sukhamvasi, he remains happy within the city of the nine gates, neither working nor causing work to be done. In other words, if the soul invests his energy in using the body to serve Krishna and consciously is not attached to the results, because that has something to do with our determination, our willingness. We can externally perform devotional service, but if we remain attached to the ideas within our mind, then we don't make really very much progress. In other words, the machine that we're in right now is composed of the gross and subtle bodies. And the subtle body generally is a combination of different ideas that we acquired from our previous activities in the material energy. And there are many ideas. And those ideas, because they cover our consciousness, and they cover our intelligence, therefore we don't see things properly. And because we don't see things properly, sometimes we don't do things properly. We engage in activities of sense gratification, and sometimes we may even engage in activities of devotional service, but because we don't see things properly, we engage in activities of devotional service more or less for the same idea of sense gratification. The Vedas, for instance, Krishna says, Yami mam pushpitam bacham pravadantya vipaschija veda vatarata partha nanyam astiti varinam. So they think that the purpose of the Vedas is more or less sense gratification, getting higher planets, wealth, etc., etc. So similarly, we can engage ourselves in devotional service, but if we don't give up our misconceptions, then our objective is the same as the materialists. Maybe a little bit of devotion in there, but ultimately it's for comfort and for security. Therefore, along with engaging in devotional service, one has to change one's conception of life. Otherwise, one will engage in devotional service for some other reason. We have a Pari Vocek, Jai Shri, Pani Mayesh. Does anyone here speak Russian? Any case, Therefore, the only way we can get out of our misconceptions is to hear the real conception. And part of the real conception is to get out of our misconceptions. To just hear about Vaikuntha and how, dancing with the gopis and Krishna running after the gopis and Vrindavan or something. It's nice, but it's not going to help us very much. Maybe entertaining will get us through another class without getting bored. But it won't change our lives very much. On the other hand, if we hear about that family life is not exactly what we imagine it to be, and that has another purpose. If we think of family life as some romance that goes on until I can't do anything else, until they kick me out of the house, whatever else. Well, that type of idea will simply lead us down to the same result that everyone else goes through. On the other hand, family life, for instance, because Paranjan spent his life in family life cultivating wife and children and grandchildren and everything else, spending all his energy. But ultimately, family life is supposed to be an ashram, grihastha, ashram, where the wife and the children are focused in on trying to become Krishna conscious. And therefore, the efforts at maintaining family are actually efforts at maintaining Krishna's family. But if we think, well, that's all right when we get old and we can't do anything else, then I'll maintain Krishna's family and I'll become Krishna conscious. But it's probably too late, because if we cultivate our material conceptions during this lifetime, then it's very, very difficult to get out of them at the end of lifetime. We can see that because we weren't trained up, most of us, in Krishna consciousness at the beginning, how difficult it is to get free from our ideas that we acquired from childhood, what to speak of maintaining them all the way up until old age. Therefore, one has to hear not only about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, but how this material nature is working. Otherwise, one hears the Bhagavatam and we think, well, this is really heavy. This is not very nice. Who's going to appreciate this? I remember one time one devotee was telling me they were distributing one book in Dutch. And in the book, it has the forest of material enjoyment. I forget the name of the book. They have forest of material enjoyment. They have a picture of the children as jackals and the wife as a fox. And the poor husband is about to be devoured by the husband and their children. And some lady, she got the book. She bought the book and then called up the devotee and said, I thought you were nice people. That's why I bought the book. But what is this in this book here? Of course, it's probably not the best book to introduce people to our conceptions of Krishna consciousness. And maybe people generally have to understand things like you're not this body first to appreciate. But the fact is, it is not that only the wife and children are jackals or foxes, whatever else, in the forest of material enjoyment. It's not the husband's an angel, and therefore he's being unnecessarily, unfairly. But here we find King Paranjan, the typical materialist in the forest. He's also simply trying to exploit his wife and children for his sense gratification. He's not a helpless victim, but he's a willing victim, a happy victim. Until it gets old, he becomes old and worn out, and then he has to get the consequences. So people like the idea that you can enjoy the material world, but they don't like the side that you're going to have to suffer as a result. They want to hear how to enjoy every movie that has to end happily ever after. But they don't like to hear that after, Romeo, Juliet grew older, got fat, and Romeo, was on unemployment, couldn't maintain his kingdom. And the children all became drug addicts. They don't want to hear about what actually happened to Romeo and Juliet. They want to imagine that it was happily ever after. But there is no happily ever after, because everyone grows old, and all the miseries of old age, disease, and then finally death happen. And therefore, it's not a happily ever after. It's not a success story. On the other hand, if we become convinced that this human form of life is a rare opportunity, and I should invest it in hearing and chanting about Krishna and refrain from unnecessary sense gratification and mental speculation, I should actually try to hear about reality, who I actually am within this body, and that I have to change my desires from matter to spirit. And to do that, as Krishna says, I have to recognize what are the desires arising out of false ego. What are the unnecessary desires that are just conditioning me to becoming a sense enjoyer? Because Prabhupada writes in the 15th verse of that chapter, that desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the soul. We may think it's my mind that I'm attached to, but it's not my mind that I'm attached to. It's my mental, subtle body that I've acquired since time immemorial, what I've been cultivating, that I'm attached to. But because I'm attached to it, I'm dovetailing my spiritual mind with this material mind that I've acquired. And because I'm attached to it, therefore I become a servant of the ideas arising within the mind. And for a non-devotee, he has no alternative because he has known nothing else. His only resource is his subtle mind he's acquired from material since time immemorial. Maybe within the subtle mind there are a variety of ideas in the modes of ignorance and passion he can choose from, but he has no alternative but to choose from one of those modes. Maybe when he's in good association, he has a little goodness to choose from, and when he's in bad association, his previous sinful activities become more prominent. Only if one is in devotional association can one make the decision that I should follow that desire coming through the simple succession and utilize this body not for sense gratification, not for my own happy little home with my well-educated, materially educated children, my retirement pension, my pass to the football games for a year, and my pass to the movie theater, and my visiting Janmasthami once every other year. So everyone can remember me, that I'm actually a great devotee. Now that's, if we follow our material mind, we'll get some version of that. Or we may even remain in the Hare Krishna movement, struggling with our mind up to the end of death. My mind. I really want to serve you, but I can't. I love you. I don't want to give you up. But I know what's going to happen if I serve you. Therefore, I'm not going to do it. But I'm not going to give you up because I'm attached to you. So that thing's not good either. I don't want to serve you because I'm going to get into trouble. But I don't want to give you up. I'm just going to keep you off on the side in case I have nothing else, then I'll check you out once in a while, see what happens. Now one has to recognize our material consciousness, our material desires, what they are, and then replace them with spiritual desires, spiritual conceptions. If we replace them with spiritual conceptions, then we'll see that they're just waiting. Our material desires are waiting in the background to seize us and send us to the darkest regions of existence if they can. Maya is not really the friendliest person to deal with. She comes on as, I'm your best friend, I'm the only one who's stuck with you since time immemorial. Everybody you ever had left you. But I've been with you since time immemorial. I've never left you. Who's more faithful than I am? Now if you give me up, who will you have left? Some super soul in the heart? All he can do is tell you to surrender. He keeps on telling you to surrender to him. But you should prove that you're not going to surrender to anyone, because you are the Supreme. Don't embarrass yourself by this idea of surrender. Bow down, mister. Forget it. I'm not bowing down to anyone except to my false ego. So one has to recognize things as they are. Then we can happily engage in Krishna's service, happily chant Hare Krishna, not worry so much about all our plans, whether they'll be fulfilled, all the failures we've had, all the different things that went wrong, and how we can correct them in the future. What are the lessons I have to learn from my material experiences? What was my past problems psychologically through many births, so I can solve my psychological problems? So ultimately, what? So I can enjoy in this material world. Why do people are so much caught up in solving their psychological problems? Because their psychological problems prove to them that they couldn't enjoy. So they want to get rid of all these psychological problems so they have a good opportunity to enjoy again in the material world with a clean slate, so they can get more psychological problems in the future. So one has to give up all these false notions and simply happily chant Hare Krishna, happily take shelter of Krishna, and then the result is one probably won't become rich, we won't become famous, we won't become healthy, we won't become anything but Krishna conscious, but at least we'll become happy. So that may be a great sacrifice, you know. We may not want to give up our miseries because we've been cultivating them for so long. But we should become convinced, we should see things clearly enough so that ultimately we can see it's really a decision I have to make whether I will remain attached to the material world or I actually take shelter of Krishna. We can't do both simultaneously. So here's a happy story of Puranjan. He was a king. He had a whole dynasty. But at the end, he couldn't avoid old age, disease, and death. And therefore, he was very unhappy. Similarly, he couldn't maintain the body in terms of the allegory. He tried so hard throughout his whole life to maintain a happy state of his body, but ultimately old age, disease, and death overwhelmed him, and ultimately all his friends in the body kicked him out. Kamadi nam katida katida palitas dorni deshas te shamayi jata na karuna na trapa no pushanti yet shri jaitam. So one devotee is praying, Kamari nam katida katida, Kamari nam kati katida palitas durniteshas, teshamaye jata na kruna no pushanti, na trap no pushanti. Yatri jaitam buddhi, atma buddhi. That in so many different ways we've served our material desires. And there was no limit to the desires. They came in different ways, as lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, illusion, varieties of material experience. And I served them faithfully. Unfortunately, they never were satisfied with my service. Nor were they embarrassed by the things that they asked me to do in their service. Nor was there any cessation of their service. Therefore, I served them so faithfully without any hesitation, but ultimately I wind up with less than nothing. Therefore, I've gotten some intelligence, and now I'm giving them up, and now I'm surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'm asking him to kindly protect me. So that's what we have to recognize. If we can recognize that, then our lives, wherever they may be, they become fruitful. They become productive from that point. And if we maintain those things, well, Krishna consciousness is very nice because it gives me intelligence how to live in the world in a better way. But that's not what Krishna consciousness is ultimately meant for. It may be an encouragement. It may be a sign that Krishna consciousness is actually a connection with the Supersoul, the source of intelligence. But ultimately, we have to recognize that the Supersoul is telling us to surrender to Him. That may sound rather drastic, but that's what He's telling us to do. And if we do that, we follow His directions and do our activities for Krishna to please Him, then ultimately we'll understand the benefit of Krishna's instruction. So we'll stop there. Any questions? Comments? Yeah. In America, there are 500 murders at least. At least that's the letter. Every week in America, there's 500 murders. On an average. That's the reported murders. The ones they can't ignore. And of those, most of them are all domestic. Yeah, they're all family murders. It's easy to kill your family because they're... get them when they're asleep. So the happy family is only in the pictures, in the movies, practically. Well, mostly in the movies. There may be some rare exceptions, but after all, if my aim in life is to devour you, it's not going to be a happy ending. Especially when your aim is to devour me. Because there's a lack of higher goal. If that's what's being trained, they say sex, that's the purpose of they don't say religious life is the purpose of family life. How many people are being trained like that? The aim of family life is God consciousness. Even the church, how many of them emphasize that? Oh, you should just get married to cultivate your love of God. Is that what they train people to do? No, it's get married, make money, enjoy your senses, and give to the church. We don't care what you do, but just give part of it to us, whatever it is. And the result is that people have no higher purpose of life. There are even religions, they say that we understand if you're a good person by how much money you make. If God loves you, He'll give you money. And if God doesn't give you anything, you must be sinful. So that will not be a happy ending. They may put on a happy face, but it's not really a happy ending. Yes.
You said that sometimes you keep the mind sort of.
Yes.
That's very similar to what I'm experiencing. So I was wondering how you get to the next level.
Read Prabhupada's books and seriously consider what they're saying. And then when we're chanting Hare Krishna, see actually where my mind's going and make a determined effort to chant better, more clearly, chant to Krishna and not get distracted by these ideas. Because generally we can only work, our attention span is limited because we very easily get distracted by certain things. But if we can increase our attention to the holy name and come actually under the influence of the internal energy, then to that degree, especially the more obvious subtle things will go away. It's like peeling an onion. And then you'll go deeper and deeper and deeper, and the root will ultimately get met. Just like we read Sanatana Goswami's book, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we can find all the different coverings he had to go through. Ultimately, he went to Brahmaloka, and he still had a problem there. And then even he went through the coverings of the universe, and the last covering was Maya, Mohini Murti. And she's described as sex personified. And she came to Gopakumar and offered herself, "I'm surrendered to you, accept me." So he had to get out of there quick. And his alternative, he went to the Brahmajyoti. But there he maintained his personalism, and therefore, although he was in the Brahmajyoti, he didn't merge into the Brahman effulgence. But he saw the Brahmajyoti in relation to Krishna. But ultimately, that's what the material world is, you know, it boils down to. Although it sounds rather, you know, right in your face, you can call it, you know, how is it possible that the material world is not made for compassion and love and all these other things? And you know, there may be some element of that, but ultimately, the material world is meant for yanmai tunadi grihamedi sukham hitu cham. It's either for liberation or for sense enjoyment. We're here in this verse, deha patya kalatradishu atma sanyeshva satsupi tesham pramato nidanam pashanapi napashati. That those who are deha patya, they think that their body, their wife, their children, everything else, they're their soldiers. And they'll protect them from death. They can't see that although everyone else thought the same way, but they wound up dead anyhow. They don't see their inevitable destruction. So that's what the material world is meant, to put us in this illusion that I can maintain this identity as the enjoyer and lord, and that somehow or another, if I work hard enough and acquire wife and children or husband on the other side, and that these will protect me from death, and I'll remain the lord and enjoy it here for a long time. So that goes on since time immemorial. As I mentioned the other day, that Prabhupada was riding in the car going to the doctor, and on the way back he saw one movie. It said, "Is there sex after death?" And Prabhupada gave the lecture that day to the devotees. I saw this title of the movie. It said, "Is there sex after death?" And Prabhupada told the devotees that you should tell everyone there is sex after death. They don't have to worry. In 8,400,000 species of life, there is sex after, and therefore, he said, the materialists won't worry anymore. Because they can be the enjoyer and the lord in 8,400,000 species of life. But if we don't want to go through that, then we have to become Krishna conscious, and we have to give up that idea that somehow or another there is a soulmate out there in 8,400,000 species of life, and we'll have a happy home and happy children, and happily ever after. And I'll actually become the enjoyer and lord of this world. So we have to give up that idea. And at the same time, cultivate Krishna consciousness so we find out what is the real platform of enjoyment, what is the real platform of control, how to actually control our senses and mind by engaging them under Krishna's directions, and therefore liberating ourselves back to the spiritual kingdom where there is real happiness and enjoyment forever. Yes?
Maybe I will not be able to. All the questions are tricky, so easily. It's about respect, because yesterday we read and said something about the Vatacharya, he went to the Madison for that because he was not respected. And then also today was about the disrespect of the king was not respected because he was not able to provide some certification to his. So then, I just wonder about
No, there's not only sense gratification, there's also elevation. There's three different things. There's vikarma, just out and out sense gratification. Then there's karma, which is elevating. And then there is akarma, which is transcendental. So we have a choice. We can follow the etiquette, the instructions, also the Vedas, and elevate ourselves in our relationships. So it's not that everything is going to go down. By following the etiquette, by following the instructions of the Vedas, we go upwards, ultimately to higher planets, and then ultimately with a choice, going back to the spiritual world when everything's clear. Or we can immediately take to akarma or devotional service and utilize our every relationship we have and utilize that in Krishna's service. So that's simply our choice, what we want to do. Go down or go up or go out. So that's what knowledge is meant for, to understand what our choice is and then to take the best choice. At least, even as devotees, that etiquette is very important. We want to follow some etiquette. And etiquette means that also has to deal with, if we don't have a pure vision, at least we should have some vision. At least even if we don't have a vision, at least mechanically we should follow. But ultimately, mechanically following is a little dangerous because under bad association we may slip. But our real we should develop a vision, and then the etiquette becomes much easier to follow. We may not like it, but if we had the vision, then it gives us a direction, and we understand what the positive result will be by following the etiquette, by following the process. Although we may be impelled, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yat taragre vishamiva parinami ritopamam tatsukam satyakam proktam atmabuddhi prasadajam. That which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So trying to control the senses and mind and engage them in transcendental life is bitter like poison at the beginning. It's not very nice. We have to learn tolerance and so many other things. We have to tolerate the senses, and we have to tolerate the mind, we have to tolerate our material urges, our moods, our emotions, so many different things, and keep on engaging them in Krishna's service without any immediate reciprocation. So it's bitter. But if we can learn that tolerance, even gradually, then at the end, as we become purified, it becomes like nectar. So not only we should know what the etiquette is, how to, properly relate to others, but we should be convinced what the goal is, what we're actually trying to do, how we're trying to become Krishna conscious. Not just act nice to people, but we should act as devotees, as servants of Krishna to others. Then it's not just some temporary nice, I'm a good person, you're a good person, let's live together and tolerate. Is that right? Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.